That is so great. Okay, I can't wait for the party next week. I feel like on the 50th celebration, like I should get a present. I don't even know why. I just feel like I should get a present. Actually, today I did get a present, and only those in the front row can see my present. My man Samuel hooked me up. Check it out. For those of you online, leather chucks. My cred just went up, don't you think? Good thing I have another person who wears size 13s. That's all I'm saying. Today we're starting a brand new series on conversations. And let's think about it. Our lives are all about conversations, right? So many conversations. I love kindergarten. My teacher is so great. I made the baseball team. Honey, everybody makes the baseball team. And they all get a trophy. I think she likes you. I do like you as a friend. Will you go to the prom with me? Will you marry me? It's a boy. He took his first step. He said his first word. He won't shut up. Conversations. We're all about conversations. They fill our life. Our conversations put us at the college that we went to, got us the job that we were into, introduced us into the most important relationships, some of the most hurtful relationships. Some of the greatest things that ever happened began with a conversation. Some of the worst things that ever happened to us began and ended with a difficult conversation. They build us up. They tear us down. Sometimes it's not even the conversation. Sometimes it's the conversation that never took place that makes a difference. I was watching, I don't know if you guys know I like sports. You ever hear me mention sports? So I was watching a 30 for 30 on ESPN about Bernard King. If you don't know who Bernard King is, I think I have a picture. Do we have a picture of Bernard King? There we go. Okay, first up, you got to love the short shorts, right? Look at those short shorts. No wonder he was so good. Bernard King was one of the all-time greatest scorers in New York Knicks history. Bernard King's number was retired by the University of Tennessee. He made the NBA Hall of Fame. His parents must have been so proud. This is a quote from Bernard King. I never remember a moment in my life when my parents either hugged me or said, I love you. Because of that, I've never really felt close to anyone. Our conversations shape us. Words that are said, words that are never said. They nudge us. They echo in our brain. Wouldn't you love to be great at conversation? Wouldn't you love to be able to have the answers as you're in conversation? Wouldn't you love to know when it gets tense, this is what I do. This is how I work it out. What if that conversation with your kid didn't go ugly every time? Wouldn't it be great to know what to do when you said something dumb? And now all you're getting from her is quiet. Wouldn't it be great if we learn to be good at conversation? Take out the tension, bind us together, make sure we're talking about something that's worthy. I got the goal of this series. It's in Colossians 4, verse 6. And it says this. You ready? Here's our goal. There's three things in there. See if you can pick them out. I'll give you the right answer in a second. You see if you can pick them out. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Three things, right? Full of grace. Wouldn't it be great if your conversations were all full of grace? The word here means this. The grace of speech, which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. Wouldn't it be great if that was in, if you were the person in the conversation that you brought the grace? Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay, secondly, your conversation should be seasoned with salt. What does that even mean, right? Well, let me take you back. Back in the time it was written, salt had a couple of purposes. One, it was so that whatever you had, it would preserve it. They didn't have the preservatives, didn't have the refrigeration, so they salted it so it would preserve it. What if your words preserved your marriage, preserved your relationship with your kids? What if the words coming out of you made sure that the friendship existed and lasted? Second reason for salt, you know what it is? Easy. Flavor, right? Salt enhances. Have you ever had caramel ice cream? Have you ever had salted caramel ice cream? Right? Second only to peanut butter chocolate, okay? Just in my opinion. God, that'd be another great thing to bring me for the party. Anyway, wouldn't it be great if your conversation was seasoned with salt? The conversation wasn't just about how the Niners are going to do. All right, go Niners. There we go. And there we have it. What if you had purpose to it? What if your words brought joy to it? What if your words brought encouragement to your words, right? To your relationship. You threw it in, conversation just got better. And then lastly, it says this, what if, wouldn't it be, hold on, I've lost my place. Okay, last one. So that you may know how to answer. You want to finish this for me? That'd be great. I'd love that. It would probably improve. Isn't it funny that I couldn't figure out the, and my point was so you know how to answer everyone? Don't you find that to be ironic? What if you knew when the tension got stressful? What if you knew when that person pulled away? You just knew the right thing to say. What if you knew when the conversation turned spiritual so that you could answer, so that you didn't have to hide away and just be embarrassed? This is our goal. This is what we want in this next month, to be better with your relationship with your kids because you understand conversation, to be better with your friends, to be better with people in church so that conflict doesn't rip us apart, to be better when we talk about Jesus. Who wants to be good at conversation? Are you in? Yeah, me too. Thanks for raising your hand, Bill. So what's that? We're going to start. Why don't we bow our heads? And I want you to think about somebody that you're struggling with conversation with, an area of your life where this has turned south for you. Or you can just say this. Take a minute and just say, God, would you speak to me today? I'm going to give you about a minute of quiet, all right? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd be in this room. I don't know what conversation has happened or what relationship is broken, but they are all over our lives. God, help us to learn today how we can be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, so we can know how to answer people. It doesn't drive people away, but binds us together. Because that's what you want for us. Lord Jesus, be in this room. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk about conversations today, so I thought we would try something. Now, I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to give it a shot. I'm going to bring up my friend Jill. I asked Jill to give me some conversations, text message conversations that showed just how messed up we are in conversation, okay? So we're going to play our roles. We'll just try to be as dramatic as we can, all right?
Ooh, watch out, guys.
Okay, here we go. So I'm going to start with our first conversation. I love thunder so much. These are all text messages. I love thunder so much.
I know, me too. Except when it makes my dog bark, so usually only when I'm outside.
My dad barks too. We have to comfort him.
I'm so sorry. I imagine his manly vocal cords cause much more commotion than a small dog. Oh, did you mean dog?
Yeah. Duh. See, it's not really working, but we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. Okay, your turn.
All right. Just so you know, Dad's in prison.
What? Are you joking? Why are you answering your phone? I'm freaking out.
I mean, just so you know, Dad's interested. Sorry, in bathroom. Just so you know, Dad's interested in dinner tomorrow.
You just took 5 years off my life with that autocorrect. Okay, thank you for giggling. I appreciate that. We only have like 17 more of these, okay? Okay, your turn.
We're doing a poll. No. I decided when I become a grandma, I want to be called Pooh, like the bear.
No thanks.
Not your decision.
Fine, if you want to be called Pooh by my kids, go ahead.
No, Pooh with an H.
You know, the H doesn't matter. It's pronounced the same.
Yes, but Pooh is said with love.
That's very good. I didn't know you had this dramatic side to you, Jill. It's really good. It's a really good reading. Here we go. The next booth over is selling wooden swords. Does our son need a sword?
No, absolutely not.
It says message failed. I'm getting him a sword.
It does not say message failed. Do not get him a sword.
Sorry, it's really loud in here and I'm having trouble hearing you.
So your eyes here now? If you get our son a sword, he goes to work with you all this week to wreak havoc on you and your coworkers with said sword.
Deal. One coworker already approved this.
I think
we're
going to
close in prayer after this, okay? Hey, Sarah, this is your dad. My fat butt ran out of power.
Your what?
First text message. Fat butt. Fat butt. Fat butt.
Fitbit?
Yes.
All right. If you've been on the internet, you guys might remember this one. What does IDKLY and TTYL mean?
I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later.
Okay. I'll ask your sister.
I want to tell Kristen I love her very much. I want to tell her I miss her. I want to tell her she's hardworking. I can't say enough. I want to tell Kristen she is the best daughter a father could ask for.
Dad, are you using Siri?
Yes. Period. Thank you.
Yes.
You can applaud because you liked it or it's over. Hold on. Let me get back to my notes. Conversations. Today we're going to talk about crucial conversations, not conversations like how are the Niners going to do or how's my fantasy football team or what do you think about the weather? We're going to talk about conversations that really matter. All right. Now I stole the title of this from a book called Crucial Conversations. This is what classifies as a crucial conversation. The stakes are high, opinions vary, and emotions run strong. Okay. When it has all those things, it's a crucial conversation. This is what it sounds like. Why don't you ever listen to me? Guys, have you ever heard that? If you're not raising your hand, it's because you probably weren't listening. Your women have said that in your life. You're wrong. Why don't you just admit it? I feel like we're drifting apart. Why do you always assume the worst about me? I'm not sure what school I want to go through. I'm not happy with my career. You need to stop drinking. I'm stressed and obsessed, and I don't know what to do about it. Our lives are filled with crucial conversations, aren't they? And in those crucial conversations, the stakes are always high. Nobody agrees, and our emotions run so strong. And what makes it really hard about these crucial conversations? We are usually generally at our worst when we are in these kinds of conversations, right? I mean, there are times when you enter a conversation and you've prayed it up and you've thought about what you're going to say and you come in calmly. There are those conversations. And then there are most of our conversations, right? When it's hard and difficult, how do we come into those conversations? We get sarcastic. We get passive aggressive. We attack. We withdraw. You know, our body language, we close our arms. We give huffy breaths. Does that describe your spouse? Yeah, right? Listen, we've got to get better at it. One author says this about our conversations. We're designed wrong. When conversations turn from routine to crucial, we're often in trouble. Countless generations of genetic shaping drive humans to handle crucial conversations with flying fists and fleet feet, not intelligent persuasion and gentle attentiveness. This is the way we were designed. When we have a problem, we go to fight or flight. And you can see it in what happens in our conversation. When the conversation gets rough, we rally ourselves. We get ourselves to the place we're ready to attack. We're ready to defend ourselves. Either that or somebody says something wrong. We go back to the back bedroom. We hide. We shut ourselves down. Listen, God doesn't want either one of those responses from us. Okay, let me give you one more quote. One author put it like this. Let's say that your significant other has been paying less and less attention to you. You realize he or she has a busy job, but you still like more time together. You drop a few hints about the issues, but your loved one doesn't handle it well. You decide not to put on added pressure, so you clam up. Of course, since you're not all that happy about the arrangement, your displeasure now comes out through an occasional sarcastic remark. Another late night, huh? I've got Facebook friends I see more often. Unfortunately, the more you snip and snap, the less your loved one wants to be around you, so your significant other spends even less time with you. You become even more upset, and the spiral continues. Let's be real. Have you experienced that? The conversation gets ugly. You pull apart. You don't talk it through. And more bricks get added to the wall between you two. And now you're seeing less of each other than ever before. Let me bring us back to our goal. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, those verses, Colossians 4, verse 6, are at the end of the book of Colossians. They pretty much end the entire book of Colossians, because after this line, it's filled with personal comments to just specific individuals. But it ends with this, because the rest of the book of Colossians talks about some of our critical relationships, all right? And if you bounce back just one chapter, we're going to look at four relationships that we struggle with, okay? Here we go, and it starts Colossians 3, 18, okay? It says this, wives, be subject to your husbands. Now, let me explain what subject means, because I don't know where I found this version, because every other version I looked up says, wives, you ready? Submit. The husbands wanted to make sure I said this louder. Submit to your husbands. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with a sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Okay, let me give you a quick side note. Does this mean that God approves of slavery? No. When Paul is talking to people, he always has one goal. And he says it out loud over and over and over. I will do all things so that all men can be saved. All right? And what he's saying to slaves in this particular situation, he does not approve of slavery. What he is saying is, in that relationship, you want to make it work. This is the best way to make it work. Now, how many of you have ever seen these verses before? Right? Generally speaking, we have a reading disability when it comes to these verses. Let me explain to you. We need a reading lesson. This is how husbands read those verses. They read those verses and then come out of it saying, "Wife, you got to submit to me." And wives read these verses and they say, "Husband, you got to love me better." And kids read these verses and say, "Stop exasperating me." And parents read these verses and say, "Look, obey me. You got to obey me," right? We've got a learning disability. Let me help you understand. Husbands, this verse that says, "Submit, wives, submit to your husband." Do you know what the Bible also says? The Bible also says in other places that we, all of us, should submit one to another. You know what the word submit means? It means putting the needs of somebody else above you. You know the greatest example of that? Jesus was the greatest example. Jesus literally submitted his will for all of us. But that's not really the problem with this verse. The problem with husbands reading this verse saying, "Wives, submit to me," is that verse, that part of the verse, wasn't written to husbands. It was written to wives. Right? Wives, when you look at that verse and say, "Hey, look, you got to love me better. You got to take me out more. You don't bring me flowers anymore." That verse that says, "Husbands, love your wife," was not written to wives. It was written to husbands. And parents, the verse that says, "Look, children, obey your parents." It's not an opportunity for you to create a plaque and put it up in your children's room. Because those verses were not written to you. They're written to children. And kids, the verse that says, "Hey, parents, don't exasperate," that wasn't for you to say, "Look, man, parents, you guys are so annoying. Would you stop annoying me?" No, those verses were written to parents. Let me explain. Let me keep going. Husbands, this is how your marriage will work best. Love your wife. Love her in such a way that she needs to be loved. Love her with touch that isn't just trying to lead you someplace. Love her with words that are gentle and caring. Love her with support. She should know that she has a fan, and it's you. Love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband. Put his needs above yours. And when he has a difficult day at work, be there for him. Let him know that you're in his corner. When he comes home and says, "My boss is such a jerk, he said this," don't say, "Well, maybe your boss has a point." Look, kids, you want to simplify your life? Do you want to make sure that your life is better? Do you want to put one thing in your life that takes stress out of your life? You know what that one thing is? Listen to your parents. They're not trying to ruin your life. They're not trying to destroy you. They don't have a list of all the fun things that they're trying to keep you from. They've grown. They've lived a lot of life. Your parents have done a lot of dumb things, and they want to keep you from doing the dumb thing that will hurt you. That's why they say it. And listen, I get it. They're old and out of date, right? This is what they look like, right? When I look at that hair, I got one word: flammable. I get it. Your parents are out of touch. I know. But they're just trying to protect you. And I'm going to just throw this in. Do you know how I know when a young adult is not ready to be on their own? They're not mature enough. Do you know how I know? It's an easy statement. They make this statement. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. Because listen, I am 61, about to be 62. Another great reason to bring gifts, okay? September 27th. And when I make a decision, the good decisions I make, I am asking people. I'm inviting them in to my life. I don't buy a car without asking anybody. I can't walk out the door without saying, okay, babe, what do you think, man? Wisdom means inviting other people in. Wisdom doesn't mean I'm an adult. I can do my own thing. You get it? Parents, wouldn't you like your house to be a place of peace? Don't exasperate your children. Look, I raised four. I get it. I know how it works. They get upset. They go off the deep end. They come to you all whiny. Mom, and this is how we respond. We stop whining, right? We respond in kind. Why is it that children respond all whiny and pitiful and thinking about them? You know why? They are brand new at communication. And what I'm asking you to do is be the adult. Bring the calm into that relationship. That's your job. So this is the way it works. Okay? I've given you those verses. I've given you your job. And this is how, generally speaking, it works. A wife that submits to her husband is loved. A wife that puts the needs of the husband above her own, and she cares for him, and she loves him, and she doesn't wait for the planets to align to be intimate. And she's thinking about how she can serve him. Generally speaking, she's loved. Let me tell you something else. A husband that loves, truly loves, is submitted to. Because the wife knows that he's not trying to put his foot down, or he's not trying to rule the place, that he is a listener. He listens. He doesn't just solve. He says things that are gentle and kind. And husbands that love that way and who give back rubs for no other reason, they're submitted to. Listen, children that obey their parents have parents that aren't exasperated. Because when we figure out you're not going to fight us on everything, that you're going to listen to us, then we can back off. And we can trust you. Because you're not always pushing us on every single thing. We're not exasperated. You know what? Parents that aren't always frustrated and angry have children that obey them. Because when at your house, mom and dad are always losing it, mom and dad are always upset, mom and dad are always lecturing me on everything. Man, you want to pull away. But when mom and dad are calm and relaxed, and they let you mess up without waving it in front of your face, parents, you know, listen, when you back off, you have children that obey you. Generally speaking, look, if we're going to win a crucial conversations, we need a reading lesson. And it's not just in these verses. When we read the Bible everywhere, this is our goal. Because all of these things, we always tell them with a pointed finger. Submit to me. Love me. Don't exasperate me. Obey me. When we switch and our focus on how we can grow, that changes the game. Because let me tell you something. There are people in my life that need to do a lot of work. And I'm going to point them out here, right now. But you know the one person I know that needs the most work in my life? He's right here. He needs to grow up. He needs to get better at communication. He needs to stop solving. He needs to listen more. He needs to not be ready with the lecture as quickly. He needs to listen to the child, not so that he can get it in the last word, but so that he can hear. And you know what? When I focus on growing me, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of my relationships get better, but I can promise you this will happen, and it does happen. I grow. I mature. I get better. And let me tell you something. People that are growing, that are learning gentleness, who are maturing, their relationships tend to be better. They tend to have better marriages. They tend to have friends that want to be near them and around them. They tend to have children that aren't tired of the lecture, but when they come home, they're greeted with love and compassion and encouragement. They tend to come around more. And there's no guarantees, but this is the only way it's going to work. So maybe the first crucial conversation you need to have is with yourself to say, I'm going to stop pointing out everybody else's flaws when it comes to communication, and I am going to be attentive to what I need to do. And because this is what I will do. I will be in a hard conversation with my wife, and for years and years and years, what I would do is I'd go to bed that night, and my thoughts would be thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe she just said that about me. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe she believes that about me. Do you know what I do now with my wife, with my children? I end that and go, man, that didn't go good. What did I bring to the conversation that made it so bad? And how can I be better this time? And if we do this, here's where we'll end up. Our communication will be seasoned with grace. It will be seasoned with salt. Our words will preserve the relationship. Our communication will be interesting and not one-sided. And we'll know how to answer everyone. Because it won't always be just about us. Who's in? Let's pray. God, our lives are so much a result of difficult conversations. So much of us carry hurt. So many of us, including me, have hurt people around. Lord God, I pray that the focus in our lives would not be that everybody around us gets better. Because if we think that if we have to wait till everybody around us gets better, we're going to live a long and frustrating life. God, may it start with us. May we be full of grace, seasoned with salt, and know how to answer everyone. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.